Hagman and Hagman Report. I just enjoyed that last segment. Sitting back, listening to the conversation. Isn't it interesting how... did you follow that progression, folks? I know you did. And thank you, Joe, because I enjoyed myself listening to Brandon, and that the progression of that conversation was just fabulous. And it gave me a chance to really kind of reflect on everything you guys were talking about. And of course, this hour is going to be equally powerful, if not, well, equally powerful indeed. Before we get back to Brandon House, by the way, his website is worldviewweekend.com. That's worldviewweekend.com. Business website. Some good stuff going on there. And of course, Brandon, Worldview Weekend broadcast airs Monday through Friday, 1 to 2 p.m. Central Time. The real time, however, is 2 to 3. That's Eastern. That's the real time. Before we get back to Brandon, let me ask you a question. Are you a small business looking to grow, but you can't afford the big price tag associated with advertising and nationally syndicated radio shows? Are you looking to get the most exposure for your product or service on a limited budget? Advertising on this program, the Hagman and Hagman Report. That's right. Advertising with us is the answer to your needs. Folks, we are unlike any other radio station in existence. We dominate the 7 to 10 p.m. time slot in a number of venues. We are a unique father-son investigative team. And there he is right there, my son. Both career detectives having a combined 40 years of investigative experience. Gee, I wonder who has the most. Yeah, look at me. Look at me. No, look away. I'm hideous. Anyway, look, we do appeal to the majority of people. We're a Christian, biased, unapologetically Christian radio show. And we look at events, people, events, things from a Christian perspective. And, you know, those people suffering under this oppressiveness of political correctness, which even the most conservative radio and television shows are governed by sometimes. It seems that you can find refreshment here with our show, which is why we're growing. We've created, growing indeed, over 65 million downloads of our archives last year. Or I'm sorry, 74 million, up from 65 the year before million in 114 countries, I believe it is. So it's really growing. We are growing.
You just mentioned the countries. I'm going to show you something after the show. I think you'll be surprised. I think there's more than what you think.
Well, I'm sure. But anyway, look, we've created a space. Thanks. As our guest sits there saying, when are these guys going to shut up? Okay. No, but we've created, folks, listen to this. We've created this very special limited time offer that will provide you with national and international exposure at a fraction of the price of national syndicated shows, the big talkers, while getting your business in front of millions. You can ask all of our sponsors. You can experience the same level of advertising with your business right along with big advertisers like Pro Flowers, HelloFresh, Casper Mattress, Omaha Steaks, just to name a few. All right, you'll reach the same number of potential clients as customers advertising on our show as you would on many of the cable channels as well. Don't let the high cost of advertising in the market hold your business hostage. Break free from the punishing cost by taking advantage of our introductory offer right now. And I just talked with JD, or the guy that's handling the marketing on this. We only have a few slots left, okay, for this limited advertising opportunity. So email opportunities@hagmanreport.com. That's opportunities@hagmanreport.com. I just wanted to introduce that, opportunities@hagmanreport.com, or go to hagmanreport.com, go all the way down, and where it says get started today with your business, click on that. And there's more information there. opportunities@hagmanreport.com. Don't let your business get left in the dust, especially in 2017. Joe?
Our guest is Brandon House, and we got a number of things that we're going to get into in this hour. Just a quick detour. I was just skimming some sites for interesting news, and I came across a movie that is coming out called Raw. It's about cannibalism.
Oh, I saw that.
And the reason I came across it is because there was some Pizzagate stuff that was related to some celebrities, some pictures that were attempted to be scrubbed off the internet.
Yeah.
We're posted back up of some spear cooking stuff.
Horrible stuff. Yeah. Don't even go to that link, folks.
But yeah, we'll talk about that more later in future shows, because there's a lot of stuff that I've been looking into that is...
My stomach turned.
Yeah, okay, I'm not even going to watch the trailer right now.
Yeah, my stomach turned, and I... Yep.
Mr. House, this is one thing that we haven't talked about since the last time you were on, was all this stuff that came out in the Podesta emails, this Pizzagate, and stuff related to Clinton, the cannibalism, the spirit cooking. Any ideas or opinions on this?
You know, it's just so disgusting, isn't it? And troubling. And I think what was the most concerning to me is that someone like Eric Prince, who started Blackwater, everybody pretty much knows what Blackwater, that military paramilitary group is. I don't know if it's still there, but people ought to go on Breitbart.com and type in Ed was his dad. Type in Eric Prince and look at what Eric Prince was saying about some of this stuff and investigations in NYPD. I thought that was pretty shocking because of his background and his connections, what he was saying. And, very interesting.
Well, Brandon, Mr. House, I got to tell you this. I've got some inside back.
Oh, Brandon, call me Brandon.
All right, Brandon. I've got some inside channels and, I can't answer why some of the stuff has not come out yet, but you mentioned Eric Prince and you mentioned that there is some very, very horrible, horrible, horrible things that they found. I'm not even sure I can even go beyond that, except to say that people are not seeing the true findings.
Did you see that interview, that article of Eric on Breitbart?
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, wow. I mean, that came out. I thought, this guy is pretty well connected. And for him to be saying these things and talking about his sources in the NYPD, and, you know, I think...
I talked to the same guy he talked to.
Okay.
So, there it is.
I think the Prince family... Isn't the Prince family and... You got the Prince family and the Moss family. Isn't Eric's sister the one that is going to be the Secretary of Education?
I don't know, because I don't know.
I think the Prince family and the DeVos.
DeVos. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Moss.
Yes.
No, DeVos is DeVos.
There's DeVos, right.
That's really wealthy.
From Michigan.
DeVos, the lady's going to be Secretary of Education. Isn't her last name DeVos?
Yes. The wife of Rich DeVos, I believe, or sister of Rich DeVos.
Research, her maiden name is Prince. I think that's Eric's sister.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I wasn't sure the family connection, but you're right.
There is, if I remember correctly. But the point I'm making is, Eric is pretty well connected, and so for him to have given that interview to Breitbart is pretty fascinating. I think a lot of things just have not come out, and I don't know if they're going to ever come out. But you look at some of these people, and we go back to Bohemian Grove, and I know that a lot of the conspirator folks that get out into the La La Land go on and on about some of this stuff. But I think it's in my file downstairs. But wasn't it Vanity Fair that did a piece on the Bohemian Grove a few years ago? And they were even talking about how weird and druid and a mixture of uniforms that look like something like a KKK Catholic priest druid uniform and the owl and the burning of Kerry on the lake and all of this paganism. And of course, it was all intertwined in an article about 10 years ago, 7-8 years ago, on the trees that they were concerned about. So it was more from an environmental standpoint in this lengthy article. But throughout the article, if you just ignore all that and just pull out the paragraphs where the guy's telling you what Bohemian Grove is really all about, you're going, ooh, this is really odd. I know Richard Nixon was quoted as saying that the folks that went to that were a bunch of, and he used the word for a bundle of sticks. And, you know, this is a weird group of people. And many of your internationalists, your statists, your globalists, and by the way, I think that article in Vanity Fair went on to say how there was a lot of cross-dressing and dancing and getting skits of these guys dressing like women and a lot of really troubling things. And again, this is coming from Vanity Fair, for Pete's sake. I mean, that's kind of it's not like a right-wing publication, obviously. So this whole Bohemian Grove thing is really odd. But when you combine that with Burning Man, which is now, I think Burning Man is more of the next generation of Bohemian Grove,
yep.
And it's a lot of the same ideologies and ideas. It's just New Age paganism. And when you go and you look at the things that were going on at the Tower of Babel in Genesis 10 and 11, And then you see the same paganism with the children of Israel falling into it and worshiping Baal and Ashtaroth. And then in the epistles, we see them worshiping Diana. You know, these are all the same people. The Baal and the Ashtaroth. This is all going back to Babylon, Genesis 10:11. Semiramis, queen of Babylon. Her name is not in the scripture. She's referred to as the queen of heaven. It's not the Catholic Church says it's Mary. No, there's no queen in heaven. There's only a king. But Nimrod dies. We don't know how. He goes to the sun, becomes a sun god. He impregnates the queen of Babylon, Semiramis, with a sunbeam. She gives birth, immaculate conception, if you will, to Tammuz, who's really Nimrod reincarnated, so it's really the son of man, the son of God. It's 600 some odd years or more before the birth of Christ, Satan setting up a false gospel and counterfeit. And you see them, and we see in the scripture Nimrod mentioned, Genesis 10:11. We see Tammuz mentioned, the children of Israel weeping for Tammuz. They're baking cakes for him. The women are baking cakes, the men are collecting wood for that. We see the queen of heaven mentioned, that's Semiramis, that whole Babylonian concept. And you see it all through Genesis and going all through the scriptures under different names, as I said, Ashtaroth and Baal. And then you have the Masons with their god Jehobalon, Jehovah, Osiris, and Baal. Osiris and Baal, again, names that go right back to Tammuz or Nimrod in the Tower of Babel. They all have different names in different cultures. Why? Because when God confused their language at the Tower of Babel, they spread, and they took the Babylonian religion all over the world. So, not all, but most of your world's false religions are all connected from their Babylonian pagan religious system from the Tower of Babel, which is why Revelation 17 says that the mother of harlots, she will gather her children back together. That's Babylon. Babylon, the woman who's riding the beast, that's Babylon. The text tells you in 17 and 18 that that woman riding the beast is Babylon. Mm. And so it's all going to go back to Babylon, 58 miles south of Baghdad, where it says she's the mother of harlots. Well, she's bringing all of these kids back together to Babylon, where it all started in Genesis 10 and 11, and then they took this Babylonian pagan religions all over the globe under different names, which is why I can take you to the museum in Baltimore. I think I told you one of our programs, first time I was with you, and show you a statue of a woman, Egyptian woman, holding a child, and people say, oh, look, Mary holding Jesus. No, it's 600 years B.C.
Right.
So what Satan has done is create a false gospel system that is based on Gnosticism, our hidden knowledge, higher knowledge, goes right back to the founding fathers we were talking about earlier, Age of Reason and Thomas Paine. And all that continues today in the New Age movement. And it manifests itself in things with internationalists and globalists who want to build a one-world religious system,
yep,
just like the Tower of Babel. It's consolidating power. God said, procreate and scatter. They said, no, we'll stay and consolidate power and we'll be like God. And so what these people are going to do again is go back to Babylon and build a world government, trying it one more time. And it's all based on a rebellion. Man is God. We are like God. We have higher knowledge. We're more special than you are because we have been entertained a thought that most people can't handle. That's what the elite think. And it's their New Age pantheism. All is God. Pantheism, God is in all. Worship of Mother Earth. Worship of Gaia. Gaia, by the way, is just another name for Semiramis. I think I told you in our first program together several months ago, even the Congressional Medal of Honor Society says the Statue of Liberty is Semiramis, Queen of Babylon.
Yes. Yeah.
So we have the Masons. We have all of these esoteric, occultic religions based on the ascent of man. Man can save himself. Man can ascend and save himself with hidden knowledge. And, of course, then you have the idea of drugs and altered state of consciousness with people like Timothy Leary, Tune In, Turn On, Drop Out, and Maharishi with transcendental meditation and this getting in touch with your higher self. Glenn Beck is pushing a lot of this stuff as well with his New Age Mormonism. And so are we shocked that it manifests itself, Babylonian religion stuff, in things that involve sexual perversion? Because if you go into the New Testament, what do you see? You see Paul generically referring to Gnosticism, particularly also in 1 John. It hadn't really been given a name as of yet, but it's the same idea, and it's being confronted. And you also see them going to the temples and involved with temple prostitutes, having sex. Now, this is again, when you have this paganism going on, and they're having sex with the temple prostitutes, which is a thought. They thought this is how they could become in touch with the divine. And you also had transsexuals, transgenders in these temples. So nothing is new under the sun, folks. We've seen all this before in past years, hundreds and thousands of years ago, hundreds or thousands of years ago. This is not new. But it all stems from this idea of paganism and some of the sexual things that go on within the pagan religions, which manifest themselves in the scriptures with these temple prostitutes. And yet today we see people being immoral and doing strange, odd things. But it is all going back to Babel and eventually culminate in Genesis or in Revelation 18, 17, and 18. And the woman that rides the beast, the woman being Babylon, the beast being Antichrist's one world system, and the perversion that goes with all that. So am I shocked at things that I hear and read that internationalists, statists, globalists, people who think they're gods, little gods running around on earth, are doing? No. Doctrinal failure and moral failure go hand in hand. Are we shocked when we find out that false teachers in the word of faith who say they're little gods running around on earth, who say that God was a man who later became God, that God that Christ went to hell as a man, defeated Satan as a man, and you can defeat Satan as a man, that Jesus ceased to be God on the cross when he cried out, "Father, why is thou forsaken me?" He stopped being God, went to hell for 3 days as a man, defeated Satan as a man, and was resurrected as God, and you too can be a little God running around on earth. Are we shocked at this perversion within evangelicalism called the word of faith? It's not evangelicalism, it's not Christian, but it's embraced by the religious right, so again, they can build their coalition and win elections, but has more to do really with pagan religions of Babylon and how these groups can all get together and will work with a guy who says, "Look, I'll deal with the wars, the poverty and terrorism, and he'll talk religious, and he'll perform counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders," the Bible says, "that would deceive even the elect if it was possible," but it's not. And you can see how these groups are all going to go along and get along because it's a mixture of people who have all been doctrinally deceived, and that is what we're headed toward. So are we shocked that even whether it's so-called evangelicals or Christians or Word of Faith or New Apostolic Reformation or Mormons who are doctrinally deceived are into this garbage any more than we should be shocked at the internationalists, the statists, and the globalists and people like George Soros who told 60 Minutes several years ago he believed that man created God in his own image. Eckhart Tolle, who works with Oprah, wrote that in chapter 2 of one of his books. Are we shocked that these same people want a new world order and are doing the same thing within Freemasonry and occultism and their secret societies that come from the Tower of Babel when that's where it's all going? Which is why I wrote the book, The Coming Religious Reich, Empire or Kingdom. And it's all going back to Babel in this world religious system I'm describing.
And that's folks, that's a fantastic book. If you haven't picked that up and read it, that answers a lot of things. And it ties a lot of our guests, the books that they've written together. So if you have the chance to grab that book, The Coming Religious Reich, grab that book because that's a great book. I highly recommend it. And what you just said there, that's amazing. That whole, you just laid it out. I mean, it's beautiful. It's, you just explained.
By the way, if people like this kind of thing, we have a conference coming up April 28, 29, and 30. In Branson, but we moved this year to Lake of the Ozarks, 1,500 miles of shoreline, Lake of the Ozarks, Tantara Resort. And I've got 6-7 national speakers, and they're going to be speaking on some of these kind of topics. People like Ron Rhodes, Mark Hitchcock, Abner Chow, Shahram Haidian, a former Muslim from Iran who became a believer. His daddy was high-ranking in the Iranian government. Military, they left 6 weeks before the fall of the Shah. He'll be with us. We're going to have one of the speakers, Ron Rhodes, speaking on cyber attacks and the new way of warfare and how it's really setting up, I think, for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. He's also going to speak on the biometrics and really a coming economic cashless society through biometrics. Abner Chow is going to be speaking on really an overview of the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. Some of the things I just quickly did right then would be some of the things that he could probably touch on. But anyway, if they're interested in attending a conference like this with like-minded conservative Christians on world events and understanding the world through the lens of the scripture, all they got to do is go to our website, worldviewweekend.com/Ozarks, worldviewweekend.com/Ozarks, and they can come to a Bible conference where we actually use the Bible as the starting point for saying, does any of this look like anything the Bible talks about? So we can get an idea of where we're going. It's also a great time of fellowship, and it's at a beautiful resort, and it's extremely cheap, $75. We haven't raised our ticket price in 14 years, and it's off-season, so we negotiate great prices. But we'd love to have some of your audience come join us for that Bible conference, and they get all the details at worldviewweekend.com/conferences. So thank you for letting me mention that.
Oh, yeah, no worries, and that's great. And tell me again when that is, June?
April 28, 29, and 30.
Okay, April.
The Rolling Hills of the Ozarks and on Lake of the Ozarks, which is the largest, was, I think it still is, the largest man-made lake in America, 1,500 miles of shoreline. Which, by the way, if you want to do an interesting study of the free market system, that study in itself of Lake of the Ozarks, built during the Depression with, I think, if I remember correctly, $8 million, private money. They went in there and they timbered the land, took the timber and sold it. They bought the communities and towns, and they disassembled them, most of them. They had one or two they didn't get to before they flooded the area, and every now and then the company that owns it, the energy company that owns the lake, would let the water out of the dam and let it down too low, and you'd see a steeple sticking up out of the water. But I don't think they ever let the water down too low for that anymore. But they bought all the little towns, dismantled them, they timbered it, sold the timber. Then they built the dam, providing jobs during the Great Depression. And you can look it up online, building of the Lake of the Ozarks Dam, the Bagnell Dam, and you'll see black and white photos. And then they flooded it, and now they sell it off as cheap energy. And then they sell off the land as lakefront. And it was all done during the Depression and provided incredible jobs. I think the whole thing was done with $8 million, not $1 of government money. It's quite a study in the free market system and the ingenuity of free market system of America at play during a time when the president in the White House was an outright socialist, FDR. So that's just an interesting side note. A lot of history there at Lake of the Ozarks.
Indeed. Wow. Okay.
We got about three and a half minutes yeah. before the top of the hour.
Time flies. Wow.
Yeah, and before we brought you on, Brandon, you mentioned a few other topics that you would want to get into, and we've only hit just a few of those.
Yeah, because we don't really plan a lot of this, do we?
No.
You know, I love that, though, because it where the Spirit takes you, you know, it's interesting. It seems like, and we're watching the emails roll in, Brandon, and people are just your last answer or discussion about Babylon. We a ton of emails, a page of emails anyway.
That's good.
Saying, "Wow, okay, what a great concise explanation."
Say, "Oh, what a jerk! Who's this jerk you got on tonight?"
No, not at all.
One of the stories that you mentioned before we came on was a story about Israel bombing a military airport near Damascus, and the airport is MEZZEH, Mezzi, military airport west of Damascus. Accusing Tel Aviv of supporting terrorists after this is serious state news. Is accusing Israel of supporting terrorism after Israeli jets bombed the military airport west in Damascus. They also said there would be repercussions for Israel for the flagrant attack on the military base, according to state TV, citing a Syrian Army Command spokesman. It also linked the alleged strike to Israel's support of terrorist groups. And several missiles were fired at the airport's compounds and from northern Israel. And the strike damaged a number of compounds and screwed up the military facility in Damascus. And there's no information about the death toll or info about the airstrike immediately available. And it says that the base is reported to house Syria's elite Republican Guards and Special Forces. And there's a lot of pictures and stuff going around on Twitter. Is this just more Middle East meddling or... do you think that this might escalate?
Well, you know, Syria is such an interesting topic because I'm not a fan of Assad, but so many of the people trying to push out Assad, we're going to, I'm pretty sure, put someone like ISIS in charge. You know, you saw the destabilization of Egypt. I mean, we weren't fans of the leaders of Egypt, but they left Israel alone. And then all of a sudden you have this Arab Spring, you get the Muslim Brotherhood and their guy in power. And you see the same thing, Gaddafi. Nobody's a fan of Gaddafi, but he largely left Israel alone. I think once Reagan put a missile down his tent back in the 80s, he kind of learned his lesson. But there seems to be more going on here. It seems as though really what the ultimate goal was is for Qatar and Saudi Arabia to build an oil pipeline, and they want to sell off fuel to Europe, and it needs to come through Syria. Well, Russia isn't going to let that happen. They have they are selling a lot of the oil to Europe. They don't want any competition. Putin's using the price of oil to keep Mother Russia afloat and try to bring her back together with the breakaway republics. And so he uses terrorism, and he at times funds it and supports it and trains them. Some of the leading people who have been terrorists, people right up there with bin Laden, some of his number two and three men, were trained by the KGB and were KGB agents. This is a matter of fact, and I've interviewed some former KGB agents who have been on my program. So he uses the terrorists to keep the price of oil high with destabilizing the region. But we come back in the break, I can tell you what's going on with Syria and Russia and some biblical implications. In Isaiah 17, it says eventually Damascus will be wiped out.
Absolutely.
Very interesting. Yeah. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into that after the break. And, you know, we know what's in Scripture, what it says about Damascus, and what it looks like now and what's happened to it. The war-torn region almost resembles a ruinous heap. But we'll get Brandon's take on the other side. Stay with us. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. We got one segment left.
To this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report, our final segment, Brandon House, his website, worldviewweekend.com. That's worldviewweekend.com. Good friend of the show, and he's got a lot of great information. It was amazing how, and I'll say this one more time because I've said this a lot, that when you look at current events, whether they're domestic or geopolitical, but world events, in totality, through the, prism of Scripture, and biblical prophecy, things begin to make more sense to you. And I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us. Thank you for your belief and your trust in us. You know, it's amazing. And I just want to say thank you again. Thank you for your support. We are struggling, and I want to tell you, we're struggling to bring you the best product possible. And we do rely on your support, so we appreciate each and every one of you, whether it's a prayer at night, a prayer during the day, or even if you send a letter, an email, whatever, we thank you for that. And if you've blessed us financially, thank you so much for that, because without that, we could not stay on the air. So, Brandon House is our guest, worldviewweekend.com. He's got a great conference coming up in April. So, Lake of the Ozarks, right.
Yeah, and before the break, and during the break, there's two things that you said, Brandon, that one, you got an email about how we should study the Bible, and two, the Syrian Russia and Isaiah 17.
Yes.
I'll let you start where you want.
Okay, well, we're talking about Russia and Syria, so I'll finish that. But Isaiah 17 seems to speak about the destruction of Damascus. Theologians argue as to when that might happen, but it's just interesting that Israel is striking so near Damascus. And not too long ago, Assad said something about, even if you destroy Damascus, I'm not going anywhere. And whoa, that's kind of prophetic. Does he realize what Isaiah 17 says? But no, this relationship between Russia and Syria, you know, they want a warm water port. Putin does not want Qatar and Saudi Arabia to get a pipeline going through there. And yet, then you have these people, these rebels, which many of them people think are really ISIS. And I have to wonder at what level the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State weren't funding these people and giving them weapons, and that there wasn't the goal of pushing out Assad and using ISIS to do it, so that Qatar and Saudi Arabia could get their pipeline through Syria. And I think you might want to do a search on whether or not the Clinton Foundation ever received any money from Saudi Arabia. So there seems to be a lot that the American people never get told about why we have the foreign policy we have. Unfortunately, so many of the wars we've done and go to also are not about the reasons they're promoted. It seems to be a lot of times it's about the military-industrial complex making a lot of money, and the politicians who are put into power by the bankers and the military-industrial complex and empower them and get them into office to then go to war. And a lot of times the military-industrial complex, not only do they benefit from that, making the military hardware, but then many of the big banks and corporations benefit from it for some of the business dealings and things that are going on behind the scenes. And so we're lied to again and again and told things about why we're doing this, and it's the best interest of America and our national security, and we're fighting the bad guys. And a lot of times we're not fighting the bad guys. We're empowering and funding and arming the bad guys. The really real goal is nation building. It's globalism. And in some cases, it's just flat out greed. Who is willing to grease the skids to get the government to do these things, and the corporations and the bankers and the military-industrial complex that work with them all. So the great speech by Eisenhower when he left office in his farewell address about the military-industrial complex. So anyway, Syria is interesting because I'm no fan of Assad, but I certainly don't want to see someone come over and take his role that is going to then make things harder on Israel. But it's interesting to watch Syria and to watch Putin and then to watch this relationship with Iran and then to watch the relationship with Turkey, and Turkey now going from really a secular government under Erdogan to his supposed coup that's now allowed him to kill a lot of people and get rid of some police and judges and military people and others, and go to a flat out, you know, really now a religious Muslim government. But it all seems to be that coalition building that we see represented in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And we'll be getting into some of that at our Worldview Weekend at Lake of the Ozarks in April. But I mentioned all that. Now, as far as studying the Bible, you know, one of the things so many of these people do is they take the scripture out of context and then they try to apply it to today. And we talked earlier in the first hour about people doing that with poverty and talking about the poor. And they pull out verses that deal with the poor in Leviticus that are dealing with the nation of Israel, which is not the church. And it was a unique nation and a theocracy. And it was part of their tax system and their religious government. You can't just rip that out and then apply it to us today, as people do. Or they take what's talked about in Matthew 25, where Jesus says, you know, I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you visited me. I was thirsty and you gave me water. And Jesus is commending these people. And people use that to say, you see how we're supposed to help the poor. This is social justice. We need to do these things. Well, that's not the context of Matthew 25. This is Jesus setting up his millennial kingdom, and he's dividing the sheep from the goats, believers from non-believers. And so it has nothing to do with today. And he's commending the believers of the tribulation saints, who turned around and were ministering to tribulation saints who were in prison for their faith. So it's Christians ministering to Christians, but more accurately, during the tribulation period, we would not call them Christians because the church is gone. We would call them tribulation saints. And so it's tribulation saints ministering to tribulation saints and being commended by Jesus in Matthew 25. But Matthew 25 is always used to promote the idea of it's our calling as Christians to give our money to the poor. I was talking about this on the radio and explaining some of this on the air and giving some of the scripture that's used out of context to promote social justice. And the Bible talks about the Pharisees, the rich, and they would come to a party and they would want to sit at the head table and be seen with the master, but they wouldn't want to invite the poor. Well, again, this verse is used to say, you know, Jesus says, invite the poor to your parties. And so people want to use this verse to say, well, see, Jesus wants us to feed the poor. But no, Jesus was talking about the issue of the fact that these Pharisees wanted to be seen with at the head table because everything was about image. Everything was about themselves. Everything was about selfishness. Everything was about a spiritual, righteous look, external but not internal, dealing with the heart. And if you really want to be, you know, if you really are wanting to do what is right, why don't you invite some of the poor? Well, they would never do that because, again, they thought, because they were so spiritually elite, that their richness was based on the fact that they've been blessed of God. That's why they were rich. So people try to take scripture out of context, and Jesus wasn't there teaching them. Same thing with the Good Samaritan. They take the story of the Good Samaritan and say, you know, this would be a good neighbor. This is what you should be doing. The Good Samaritan is a story about that there's no one good but Jesus Christ. He's the only one that is good. And Jesus could really stand for the Good Samaritan, someone that gives up for someone that they don't even know, the stranger, if you will. Jesus gives up. He pays their debt, just as the Samaritan left and paid for the man's debt at the hotel. Jesus paid our sin debt. He came to us when we were broken and when we were impoverished spiritually and bankrupt spiritually and dying on the side of the road. and he gave of himself, and he poured out his riches, and he sacrificed, and was selfless, and he saved us. There's no one good but him. You see, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, thought to entrap. A Jewish lawyer stands up, thinks he's going to entrap Jesus, and talk about how he's kept the law. And Jesus says, you know, if you really think you're kept all of the law, let's deal with the issue of the heart. Are you really a good person? And he starts telling the story of the Good Samaritan and says there's really no one good but Christ. But see, we've taken the Good Samaritan story, we've made it about social justice. And I can take you all through the scripture and keep showing you where this happens. And the context is always going to show us it's not social justice, socialism. That would contradict scripture and private property, not stealing. Thou shalt not steal. Galatians 4 talks about caring for the poor. But if you look at the context, it's again inside the church, where the New Testament church never lets someone inside the New Testament church be poor unless it's consequences of their sin. They care for them. We even see in the epistles where Paul says to take care of the widows and the orphans, but there's a caveat. If they have a family member, the family member is supposed to care for them. And he who doesn't provide for his family is worse than an infidel or unbeliever. So if they don't have a family member that will care for them, then we do it as a New Testament church. That's inside the church. Now, that doesn't mean that it's wrong to set up a soup kitchen and to give food and the gospel, like the Mission Garden, the Union Gospel Mission or the Pacific Garden Mission in downtown Chicago. But you use those things as a platform to give the gospel. There's nothing that says we redistribute the wealth just to give people money. That doesn't fix their problem, which is not really external, it's internal. Most issues today of poverty go to the issue of moral relativism, situational ethics, consequences of sin. And when we can have people change their worldview by becoming a believer in Christ and placing their faith and trust in Christ alone, and now having a whole new set of standards and values that are derived from a person that has been regenerated, they begin now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to study their Bible and make good choices, whereas now they're making bad choices that have consequences. And I was talking about this on the radio, and a bus driver from Texas emailed me and said, Brandon, I see it in where I drive the bus. These people that are panhandlers, I pick them up regularly, and they get on the bus, and they're boasting how they made $500 or $600 tax-free that day. They look horrible. They dress horrible. They're making $500 or $600 a day cash, no taxes being paid, and that's why they choose to live. And people giving them money think they're somehow doing them a favor. They're being scammed. He said, I see people all the time offer them food, and they will tell them, no, I don't want food. I want money. And again, I could go through many examples of where people think somehow this is being a Christian, but yet, if you want to be a real Christian, a follower of Christ, why not preach the pure, unadulterated gospel? So people today, what they do is they twist scripture, and they don't read the verses before it and ask, who wrote this? To who was it written? Why was it written? And you'll find a lot of the verses that are and things that are talking about in the Old Testament are written to Israel. We're not Israel. And people that believe that America is Israel or the church is Israel, that's called replacement theology. They're replacing Israel with either America or the church. Most of them do it with the church. They think that Israel has now been replaced by, the church has replaced Israel. No, God is going to fulfill his promises to the nation of Israel. And there is no reason for the church to go through the tribulation, which is why I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Not because I believe in some escapism. Because I believe we could still have an EMP attack on America. I believe we could have a cyber attack that puts all the power out. I believe we could have plagues and all kinds of horrible terrorist attacks, terrible things. I mean, look at the Christians in communist China and formerly behind the Iron Curtain in Cuba. No, you can be persecuted horribly. Look at the apostles. But I don't see the purpose of the tribulation being for any reason other than to bring the people of Israel to Yeshua. And that's what Ezekiel 38 is all about. God intervenes. He destroys the enemies of Israel. And the whole world knows he's the Lord. And then you have these Jewish evangelists who go all over the world preaching the gospel. And God fulfills his ultimate promise to the nation of Israel. And at the end of the tribulation, you have all these people who are dead and been judged and destroyed. And who's left? Tribulation saints, Gentiles and Jews. And what happens to those Jews? They go right into the millennial kingdom where Christ rules and reigns and does exactly what he says he's going to do. He gives them the land. He fulfills his covenant, his promise to them. I see no reason for the church to go through the tribulation. And when you understand the reason for the tribulation, which is to reach the heart of the Jewish people for the sake of the gospel and to bring them to Yeshua, when you understand that, you understand what God is doing and why these things in the Middle East are happening and what they're setting up, ultimately to fulfill the promise to the Jewish people. They're a special people. Does that mean we agree that everything the nation of Israel does No, because I separate the nation and government of Israel from the Jewish people.
And that's where, I don't mean to interrupt you here. I don't think we really have to agree necessarily on the timing of the rapture, which is a really contentious subject, but that, you know, that aside, move that aside just for a little bit. Something you just said here about agreeing with the nation of Israel, what we're seeing now, and this is more disturbing than any talk about the timing of the rapture. Well, what I'm seeing now, and what I'm actually getting emails about, any time that we defend Israel, or I'm going to be kind of precise on this. Anytime we talk about Israel, saying that we have to, again, I want to be precise, be, you know, protect or at least be behind Israel, we get accused of being Zionist.
Yeah, unbiased. Exactly. And what you said, we have to separate the government of Israel from the people of Israel, from the religions of Israel.
There it is.
Israel is largely, it depends on what region of Israel I live in. There are parts of Israel that are basically New Age, Kabbalah, New Age.
Sure.
Then you have the part of Israel that are filled with homosexuals. They have a homosexual gay float parade, you know, the whole rainbow thing that all goes on in Israel. Then you have the secular Jews. They don't, you know, kind of like people in the Bible Belt. They, you know, they all love Jesus, but, you know, they, what does that mean down here? You know, the Bible Belt. Same thing in Israel. They're Jews, but they don't follow Yeshua. They don't read the Torah. They don't care. Right. And then you have your Orthodox Jews who you see wearing the long beards and the hats and at the praying wall. So, and then you have people like Benjamin Netanyahu, who obviously is a, he would be a religious Jew, but he runs a, but he doesn't wear the beard and the hat at all. So he's Jewish and he practices Judaism, but he's not of the segment that obviously wears the beard and the hats. So they're more the Orthodox. But he is running a secular government. They don't have a religious government. They don't have a temple. They don't tithe, the first and third tithe over there. They're not sacrificing. Now all that's going to happen. They're building the Levite priesthood now, and they will have those Levites doing that. People say, well, how will they know whose descendants the Levites? Well, God knows. He created them. He knows what their DNA is. But they're already working to build the robes, and they've created the robes and the instruments for the temple. They want to build the temple, and eventually they're going to get this tribulation temple. But we separate the secular government of Israel from the Jewish people. And that doesn't mean we agree with everything the Jewish people always do or their government does. I personally am not so sure we should be funding Israel. They're pretty well off. They provide fruit and flour to the world. They have an amazing economy. They have an amazing technology. I mean, the Silicon Valley in America, you know, is rushing to keep up with what Israel's doing. They have an incredible air force. I don't know they really need our financial as well as they just need our military support. And they take a lot of stuff we give them, and then they, like some of the airplanes, and they redo them on the inside of the cockpits. But I don't know that we need to be giving them just tons of money. I don't know we need to be giving a lot of nations any money, quite frankly. I'm tired of it. But
I agree with you on that.
Israel as a nation exists. And most Americans don't know that the world government in the 1920s, at the Belfar Treaty, they actually, as a group of nations, got together in 1920, 21, and 22 and affirmed the nation of Israel and that land being theirs. Now, the nation of Israel didn't formally come along until 1948, but they affirmed that land is belonging to the Jewish people with this world group of nations in 1920, 21, and 22. And we've talked extensively about that on the radio and television, and for whatever reason, Israel doesn't even talk about that enough to say, wait a minute, even in 1920, 21, and 22, there were world governments that came together with these treaties and acknowledged this was our rightful land. There is no such thing as the Palestinian state. They don't have any right to the land over there. And a lot of this is anti-Semitism, and it's demonic to the core, because the Bible is written by the Jewish people that the Holy Spirit moved upon and gave us the Word of God. Satan hates the Jewish people because they gave us not only Yeshua, Messiah, through the Jewish line, but Satan has tried to corrupt many times. I'm convinced that's what was going on right before the flood in Genesis 6. You have demonic entities having sex with women, probably demons, possessing men, having sex and spawning off this Nephilim, and the flood comes along right after that, destroys it. Satan's trying to corrupt the bloodline, I think, for Yeshua. Then after the flood, we see a bunch of other junk going on. We see Tower of Babel. We see all this stuff happening, and then you see, and we keep going, and I could go through other things, but you go to Nazi Germany, you have Hitler trying to kill all the Jews, because you see, if we can get rid of the Jews, then we don't have this great revival of the Jewish people that manifests itself into what ultimately is the fulfillment of God's promises to Israel and Him giving them this that land and Him being their king and ruling in the millennium. If the Jewish people are all dead and gone, that promise can't be fulfilled. God's a liar. It's all over, and Satan wins. So people have to understand what is going on, why these world events happen. And so when we look at Israel, we have to understand why this is a special nation and why the Jews are always under attack. They gave us Yeshua. They gave us the Word of God as the Holy Spirit moved upon them. And there is a plan to be fulfilled with them in the future that must be fulfilled for the Bible to be accurate and to come to pass. And so you do have people who have Jewish last names that are bankers, but I'm more Jewish than a lot of these people. But that doesn't justify anti-Semitism. Right. Any more than someone that has a German last name saying, well, they must be a Nazi. No, I mean, come on. There are a lot of people who are Jewish descent in America had nothing to do with not the Nazi Holocaust or anything else. They just have a Jewish... I mean, this is stupid. And the anti-Semitism at its root core is satanic. It is demonic. And if you understand why it's demonic, because of what Satan's trying to do to the Jewish people, has tried to do to the Jewish people, and is trying to disrupt the fulfillment of God's plan and the evangelistic outreach of the Jewish people, who will indeed become believers in Yeshua, and who God will give that land to, and will rule and reign as king from Jerusalem, then you understand why it is that Satan is trying to stop that and set up his own Reich or kingdom in Babylon. He wants a spiritual Jerusalem, and it will be in Babylon. And it's Satan in Isaiah 14 saying five times, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will be like God. And eventually he gets a spiritual Jerusalem in Babylon. But his kingdom's going to be wiped out, Daniel 2:44. God's kingdom will come. It will crush Satan's kingdom. And of God's kingdom, there'll be no end. So until people understand what God is doing with the nation of Israel, the epicenter of the world, and going on in the Middle East, they won't understand why all this is happening and why these coalitions between the Marxists and the Muslims are being made. Remember Karl Marx said, my aim and theme in life is to dethrone God and destroy capitalism. This was a self-hating Jew, by the way, Karl Marx. Dethrone God and destroy capitalism. The Marxists and the Muslims are united in their hatred of capitalism, Christianity, and the Jews. And make no mistake, the Marxist under al-Husseini, the Mufti of Jerusalem in the 1930s and 40s, worked with Hitler, had over 10,000 Muslims wearing the Nazi uniform, which, by the way, if you go look those up and look at the Bosnian Muslims wearing the red fez's hats with the crescent moon and sword, and on their Nazi uniform is the swastika and a sword of Islam. And they were Nazis. The Nazis and the Muslims working together for their hatred of the Jewish people to eradicate them. And the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem recruited them for Hitler so that he would be given Jerusalem to run from. So people understand what's going on. Nothing has really changed at all. By the way, you have your Shriners. Not all Masons are Shriners, but all Shriners are Masons. And the Shriners wear these little red fez hats. Well, go look up one online, the real ones online. Yep. Crescent moon and sword. Yep. Islam. What do the Masons worship? They worship Jehovah, Osiris, and Baal. Goes back to the Tower of Babel. Once again, they have universalism in their imagery. You have the Nazis working with the Muslims, wearing the little hat. Why? Because in Morocco, the Muslims killed the Christians and then dipped their hats in their blood, and that's the red hat and fez, which your Shriners wear today with the crescent moon and sword on it and the red fez and the red hat. So it's all connected, and it's all there for people to see if they know what it is they're looking at. And yet, of course, what do you have? Church denominations and associations like the Southern Baptist filled with Masons and Shriners, pastors that are Masons and Shriners, deacons that are Masons and Shriners, and when a few pastors tried to implement a resolution in the 90s at the convention of Southern Baptists condemning Freemasonry, they could never get it passed. Too many of them were Masons and Shriners. And yet, we wonder why we have this mixture of paganism and evangelicalism and so-called Christianity that's not Christian at all, and in a lot of ways, it's setting up for the coming of a religious Reich. And now you have the Southern Baptist Convention through the International Mission Board and the Ethics Religious Liberty Commission and Russell Moore filing legal briefs to defend the building of a mosque in New Jersey. Well, no wonder a lot of the Southern Baptists don't care. They're Masons who Masonry teaches it doesn't matter what God you worship, if it's Islam or not. You have Shriners wearing the red fez with the crescent moon and the sword of Islam on it, so we wouldn't be shocked that they have no problem building a mosque for the Muslims. I mean, this, and by the way, you have the Masons will lay the cornerstone, and you go to YouTube and see the Masons doing this in Washington, D.C. in the early 90s, and they're pouring the oil and the wine and the corn on the cinder block cornerstone and commemorating this, the cornerstone as Masons. The oil, the wine, and the corn. Well, you go over to Hosea, and what are the children of Israel doing? They're offering up the oil, the wine, and the corn to Baal, Satan. Baal also being Tammuz out of Genesis 10. It's the Babylonian religion. So they're offering up the things God gave them, oil, wine, corn, the children of Israel are, to Baal. But what do the Masons do? Oil, wine, corn. We see the same paganism. It just keeps being recycled. If you understand where we've come and the context of the scripture, you'll understand where we're going. So now these groups, the Muslims and the Marxists, are uniting to come against Israel. And one reason they're going to try to do this is Satan is using them to try to stop the Jewish people from coming to Christ, coming to Yeshua, and God fulfilling his promise. Satan wants to make God out to be a liar, so his kingdom wins. But he'll get that kingdom for a while in Babylon, but it will be destroyed.
You know, I just want to say that that was one of the best summations. You went through a whole bunch of history, and it was phenomenal. I want to direct people to your website, worldviewweekend.com, and check out the various videos that Brandon has. If you like what you saw tonight, the rise of the global rise of the Marxist and Muslim coalition in the last days. I got like 50,000 things going through my head here. The marriage between the Nazis and the Muslims, very well studied. I mean, I understand that. And how Islam was weaponized at the hands of the Nazis, among other things. But it just puts everything together. You really connected a lot of dots, and it's just so great. You know, if this was a conference, or if this was an event, people would pay, you know, big dollars to see you speak and to hear what you've got to say. And I want to thank you for that.
I wish they would, but unfortunately, there's not many people you guys know. There are not many people anymore that want to know these things. Yeah. It's discouraging. I sometimes get so discouraged. I look at all the resources that Fox News and all these groups have and the religious right and all these politicians. And then there are groups like ours that are actually feeding people and training people and encouraging people and keeping them up to date and edified. And we just all barely get by. It's unfortunate because not too many years ago, the American people, there were enough of them that could think. But now today, there's so few of them that are thinkers and want to learn. All they care is about their six pack and some sports and fishing. It's unfortunate. And that's why I'm always so thankful for my listeners. And I know you're thankful for your listeners because they're a rare group of people, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. They are.
Very much so.
And we thank every day for the people who care enough to turn off the television set and to tune in to broadcast and to hear people like yourself, an expert. I mean, this is tremendous.
I appreciate all the hard work you guys have done to build your audience, and then you try and share it with me. You know, it takes a long time to build the audience you've built, and it's taken a long time for me to build the following and the audience we have. And when we share that with a guest, I sometimes wonder, do they realize how hard we've had to work to build this? And then we share it with them. So let me just say, I know how long and hard you've worked to build your audience, and I thank you for sharing your audience with me tonight.
Well, thank you, and it's our privilege to have you. And I know our audience, we're very protective of our audience. Our audience certainly is very, very, very well off now. I mean, much better off having you come on and explain the things that you have. And what an education, and what a blessing to have you. Thank you.
Yeah. Brandon House, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We covered a lot of ground.
Okay.
What's that?
I need to get you guys on my program. I told you that.
Let's do it.
Absolutely.
Send me some topics we can talk about.
Well, we can. We will.
Yeah, we'll have to touch base with you either tomorrow or Monday, and we'll figure it out.
Please do.
Brandon, thank you so much. We're at the end of the program. You did it, man. What a great show. Thank you, brother. Talk to you soon. All right. Folks, that was Brandon House. His website, worldviewweekend.com, worldviewweekend.com. You want a great resource. I mean, just the videos section that he's got there. And of course, his books, including the book he mentioned, The Coming Religious Reich. What a tremendous read that is. I have that in my library, and it's just, it's phenomenal. So, we're very fortunate, Joe, to have him.
Absolutely. Tomorrow.
Yes.
James Perloff.
This is going to be with us. People
folks,
need
remember
to
the
tune
Pearl
in.
Harbor. We had the author on who talked about the
cables.
The cables, the foreknowledge of the U.S. When it pertained to Pearl Harbor and all the inconsistencies of the government story of how this happened. Well, he's going to come back on tomorrow to talk about a number of different things from, you know, shadow government to
deep state.
What's going on and what he expects to see from the shadow government through the Trump presidency. Thank you for joining us. It's great to be back. I had a great time tonight, and we will see you tomorrow.